on this Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to go to John chapter 11 and want to look at a record here. The resurrection is the most powerful event that's ever happened in all history, probably with the exception of the creation itself. And I'm not even so sure which one. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. But I know that it's the most significant thing of all mankind. And Jesus Christ taught about it consistently throughout his ministry. He taught about it. He spoke of it. The believers in the first century church, the Jews, were looking forward to it. And yet today, in our culture and in our time, we celebrate this day, the Resurrection Sunday. People call it Easter. But it's the celebration of the Resurrection Sunday. But so few people have any understanding of it whatsoever. You know, and that is a shame. There are so few people who read the Bible, so few people who have, you know, been taught. And I blame the ministers. I really do. It's their fault. You know, it's one thing if someone turns away and doesn't want to hear, that's on them. But it's a completely different thing when people have never really been taught to read or understand, and when things are not spoken of. And I know the resurrection is spoken of a lot, and it's spoken of basically once a year, you know, and that's not what we're talking about. Yeah, I'm teaching on it today. Today's Resurrection Sunday, but we speak of the hope of our Lord's return all the time. This is what you and I live for. Otherwise, we have nothing. What's the point? What's the point of working your whole life, of honoring and standing for your morals and character according to Scripture, if you get nothing at the end? What would be the point? That's why in so many cultures that don't have that kind of hope, suicide is a viable option. Okay, we're done. I don't want to do this anymore. It's sad. So sad. There was an event here with Lazarus. Lazarus has died. And we're going to start reading here in verse 23. Jesus was told he was sick. He was a good friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord loved him. He was told he was sick, and the Lord did not go to him immediately. In fact, he said, well, this sickness is going to be really to show God's glory. And Lazarus died. And he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus came to them. It says in verse 23, and Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And never die is never die permanently. That's why the scripture talks about when one of us dies, it talks about us going to sleep. See, sleep is a temporary state. You close your eyes, you wake up. As far as the Lord is concerned, death is a temporary state because he will wake you up. And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believest that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and cometh for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. And Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews, when then which were with her in the house, they comforted her. And when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goes to the grave to weep there. Then, when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him and fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother hath not died. Boy, talk about something that injures your heart. You'd come when I had called. He wouldn't be dead. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Again, it's Jesus' fault. He didn't come. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, he cometh to the grave. And it was a cave, and the stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, Take you away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. In other words, he's wrapped like a mummy. Okay, this is quite a picture. Not only does the man get up, but he's hopping around in his grave clothes. He came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with the napkin. And Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. That's quite a witness, isn't it? But you know, not everybody believed. Even when you watch a man get up from the dead after 4 days, and the mummy is bouncing around. It says, verse 46, But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees and the council and said, What are we going to do? For this man doth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And this is their motive. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and the nation. They're going to get, we're going to be out of a job. And they're going to come down on the nation of Israel. Just watch the man, the Messiah, get a man up from the dead. And what are they moaning about? What are they concerned about? I mean, you got to understand, and I'm sure that you do, but I don't think we register it real well, how evil is. And how self-centered the people of this world are. The Lord got Lazarus up from the dead. And this, the whole thing, was about bringing God glory. Lazarus is going to die again, isn't he? I mean, you want to die twice? None of us really want to die the first time. Jesus got him up. And the reason he went to sleep to begin with, because the Lord knew this is going to be for the glory of God. Now, many people believed because of that miracle. You know, I haven't seen that miracle. I didn't see that one. That was a long time ago. It was before I was born. I've seen many others. But the truth of the matter is, I believed before I saw a miracle. And so did many of you. Some of you saw a miracle and believed. That's the way most of us. It's faith. We hear the word. We have faith. And then you know for sure. Well, I want you to look at this. That was their motive. Verse 49. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being a high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being the high priest. That year he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but also that he should gather together in one the children of God, which are scattered abroad. And from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. The high priest prophesied by the Spirit of God, this evil man. He prophesied by the Spirit of God and said that this man is going to die for this whole nation. And not only for us. I mean, look at that, look at that, the gist of that prophecy that was said. It's exactly beautiful, right? It's exactly what the scripture says that the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. They just misinterpreted the entire thing based upon their evil perspective. And not only for that nation, but also that he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. We have one body, both Jew and Gentile now, because of what Christ accomplished on the cross, because of his death. And it's a guarantee because of his resurrection. They misinterpreted, they misunderstood. Did God let them know? Did God give it to them? Yes, he did. It's not for, you know, the high priest thinks he knows more than he does, doesn't he? I don't want to get on him. I want to continue on this other subject. But just understand, God's here. God's been working. God let his people know. It's what they did with what God gave them. You know, you ask yourself the question, and you're, what are you doing with what God has given you? And pray for wisdom in dealing with it. Go to John chapter 5. That beautiful miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead was to give the glory to God, and it was to prove to everyone that saw it that Jesus Christ could call out and command the dead to rise. Because that is chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus is talking to a bunch of unbelievers here. And he says to them, says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but that he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doth, these also doth the Son likewise. Whatsoever God shows his Son, that the Son knows he can do. It's amazing, huh? The God Almighty showed it to Jesus, and Jesus did it. How simple. If I show my kid something, then they can do it. I just love the simplicity of it. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever doth God does, these also doth the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth who he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honored the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that the hour is come, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him the authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is come, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. God showed the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ and the record of Lazarus, he did this a number of times. He proved it in his ministry and in his life. He proved it. He witnessed it before all mankind that he has the authority and the power to raise the dead. Because in that last day, in those last days, everyone is going to get up. It says later on, it divides it into two separate resurrections in the scriptures. You have the resurrection of the just when our Lord returns. Right now, he is ministering at the right hand of God in the heavenly tabernacle, making intercession for us as high priest. But when the Father appoints that time, and he says it's time, then he will return. And he will not return as the high priest. That's not the job he will be doing then. It says he will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it says that you and I that are asleep, we will meet him. In fact, we're going to read that here in a minute. We are going to meet him in the clouds and forevermore be with him. And he's going to rule on the earth for 1,000 years. But all those who believe on Christ, they're going to get up. And you know what's going to happen? He's going to say, get up. And he's proved it. He's got the authority. It's going to happen. And everyone who has ever believed on him or looked forward to his day, including Abraham and all the saints, are going to be raised, and they're going to be immortal. That's called the kingdom of God is going to commence. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There is so much on this subject in the scriptures because it probably is. It is the thing that gives you and I courage to live this life for our God. It is the thing that keeps us on track. The hope of the resurrection is the pole star that keeps us on the course in this life. Otherwise, I'm lost. What am I doing? If you think about it. I'd be like these other guys. Well, it's about me. It's about my job. It's about the country. It's about whatever it is that I think is important. It's how people run their lives. That don't do it for God and for an eternal purpose. They do it for themselves. Whatever they can get out of it. See, there's the two huge things of this life. You know, there are people who believe, oh, there's a little God in everybody. Well, that's not what it says. There are those who believe and honor the Son. And if you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. That's what he said. This is what that day is going to look like. In chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died, it's sleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, and rose again? Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we are not going to precede them which are asleep. See, we don't get, if the Lord comes back right now, all right, we have brothers and sisters that are asleep. They're in the grave. They're in the kingdom of the grave. That's what the scripture calls it, Sheol. They're getting up first. Then we get changed. That's going to be a day, huh? We are not going to precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The word shout is the word time. It's time, like calling a game. It's time. Now. He is going to come from heaven, descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's going to be time. Time. This is the mark, the shout. Hey, I'm waiting for that day. Looking forward to it. But the dead in Christ get up first. Go to Hebrews. See, we live our lives in light of this truth. Jesus Christ raised the dead. He told them, I have the authority to raise the dead. He spoke of it consistently throughout his ministry. And actually, it's spoken of throughout the Old Testament. If you go back to Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 37. Read that today. God gives a vision to the prophet Ezekiel. And he says, hey, Ezekiel, he brings him to this valley where there's a lot of dried out bones. And he says, hey, can these bones live? He says, you know, Lord. See, that's a smart man. He doesn't try to interpret what God says. He says, you know what you're talking about. I don't. And then he shows him the bones are going to get up. The flesh is going to come back on them. You are going to be raised. It's not some spooky, weird thing. Joshua's going to get up, and John is going to get up, and George, you're going to get up. You are going to get up. You'll be fixed, but it'll be you. It won't be something floating around. That's what people, this is what I mean. People don't understand. The dead are not floating around now. They're asleep, waiting for the day that they'll be woken up. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Talking about the great believers of faith, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might not have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Abraham, all the saints, all the men and women of faith, they had this hope. They had this in their soul, the promise of a resurrection of eternal life. That's what they lived in light of. That's what they looked forward to, the promise of the kingdom to come. And God, because they had that promise, and because they died believing it, they died in faith believing it. So most people think, so if I got faith, I won't die. It's stupid. All men die. Everybody dies. They died knowing that that day is coming. David declared in the quote in the Psalm, my flesh is going to rest in hope. And says that those who believed and trusted God with this promise, God is not ashamed to be called their God. This is what our Lord and Savior paid for. This is what he paid for. This is what he was speaking about at the Last Supper. This is what he was speaking about. Go to Matthew 26. Upstairs, around our dining room table, we're going to celebrate communion together. And I invite you to celebrate communion with us. In Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 26, I want you to realize that when the Lord was speaking of this, he was not speaking of, he was speaking of what he was going to do and accomplish on the cross, and what that accomplishment bought and ratified. He was talking about a new covenant. That's the covenant that's in Jeremiah 31, spoken of in Hebrews, spoken of in Jeremiah, the new covenant that God had promised his people. And it says here in verse 26, and when we partake in communion, this is what we are to be thinking of, and what we are to do it in remembrance of this wonderful day. In verse 26, it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink you all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. You know when the next time he's going is when he returns. We are changed, and that kingdom commences. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood which is shed for you. For what purpose? For the new covenant. The New Testament. The new covenant. It's not talking about the New Testament here. That's what I thought when I was a kid. No, that covenant. Look at Jeremiah. Again, I just want you to see it for a second. Jeremiah, I believe it's 31. Maybe it's not. I forgot where it is. I know it's in Jeremiah. I got to go back and look. 31:31. I thought it was there. This is, remember, God's people again have turned away from God when Jeremiah is speaking. They aren't worth, you know, throwing out in the garbage, to tell you the truth, from my point of view. From God's point of view, they have sinned against him, and they're going to be punished. They're going to go into bondage, but he's going to, but ultimately, God's going to win them back. That's why he sent the Savior. You and I wouldn't have done this. I guarantee it. We don't have that much mercy or that much love, or we don't even come close. God does. God does. That's why anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And he says to these people who have turned their back on him, he says, behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their inner parts, and I will write it in their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. We still teach. That's what I'm doing this morning. We still go out there and speak to others and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God Almighty. All men don't know. That word hasn't been written in my heart. I got to keep putting it in there. But in the day of the resurrection, it says, right now I see through a glass darkly, but then shall I know even as I am known. That's what Jesus Christ said. This is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood which is spilt for you. This is to ratify the new covenant. I am the payment for that promise which was made, so that you will have what God has promised all his people. We do this in remembrance of him and what he did and accomplished, but understanding what it was that he accomplished. See, to have communion with him, it's not a religious, it's having that we are his, he is ours. He paid for this. This is the new covenant, the new testament in his blood. That's what I wanted to share with you.